6 in your pew Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, page 966, and it is 2 Timothy chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 1. I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning as we read God's Word together. From 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, page 966. And let's read God's Word together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, for the sake of the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I am grateful to God, whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did, when I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. I want us to reread verse 7 because that is our central text today. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Thank you so much. You can be seated. On Saturday, March 4th, 1933, newly elected President Franklin Delano Roosevelt gave his first inaugural address. At the time of his inauguration, the unemployment rate in the United States was 25%, meaning that one out of every four Americans was out of work. The inflation rate was minus 5.1%, which meant that a dollar was decreasing in value by 5% every year. 2 million people in the Southwest had been displaced and were now homeless due to the Dust Bowl. World War II would begin in just 6 years, and it would result in the death of between 70 and 85 million people, including over 400,000 Americans. Facing both seen and unseen obstacles, President Roosevelt made this statement in the very first paragraph of his inaugural address, and I quote, "So, first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustifying terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance." In his speech, President Roosevelt defined fear, and it is an appropriate and fitting definition today, and I want to read it to you again. Nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance. God willing, over the next four Sundays, I'm going to share with you four F's that I believe are very important. I want to let you know that this is not a series about COVID, although I may refer to it at times, because there is nothing in my lifetime that I've seen that has brought more fear, shaken more faith, broken more fellowship, and darkened the future as COVID has done. While we are focusing on COVID, there are friends and family members who are battling another C word, cancer, and other serious diseases. Families are broken because relationships are shattered. Adults and youth battle alcohol and drug addictions. So, if you think I'm referring to COVID, don't necessarily assume that I am. But the four F's are areas in which our lives individually and corporately are going to intersect and run into throughout this year. And the four F's are fear, faith, fellowship, and future. Fear, faith, fellowship, and future. So I want to talk to you today about fear. And not necessarily fear, but what Paul referred to as a spirit of fear. Now, not all fear is spiritual. There is some fear that mobilizes us and prepares us to cope with unseen danger and situations. Psychologists call this fight or flight syndrome. And that is when a certain situation that is unexpected suddenly presents itself to you, and your body begins to pump adrenaline in response to this, and then you have to make a decision. Am I going to stand and fight, or am I going to run and flee? And I also want to let you know that when I'm talking about fear, I'm not talking about caution. There is caution that should be taken. I remember my dad, before the first time he took me quail hunting, he told me, he said, "Now, Rodney, don't ever step over a log. Step on top of the log so you can see what's on the other side. Because if you step over the log, you may step on a snake." And he always carried with him this rattlesnake kit, which, looking at it, just filled me with fear. It was a tube that was about this long and about that wide, and you opened it up. And inside it was a razor blade and a little suction cup and gauze. And I realized that if you get bit by a snake, not only have you got to go through that, but then somebody's going to start cutting your leg. And then they're going to put this suction cup on it, and then they're going to wrap it up. And then they're going to keep hunting. There is certain caution we need to take. We don't run through red lights. We don't drive the wrong way on a one-way road. We use caution. We drive at night with our headlights on, because not because we're fearful, but because we're cautious. But at the same time, there is rampant fear that is running through our nation and running through the church and running through the world. I read this week of the mother who was taking her child to the doctor because she thought her child had COVID. She put her child in the trunk of the car to drive him to the doctor. That is not caution. That is stupidity. That is reckless, wanton fear. The fear that I'm talking to you about today, and the fear that we're going to come back to at times throughout this year, is demonic in nature. I find it interesting how Paul referred to fear in 2 Timothy. He did not say God has not given us fear. He didn't say God has not given us anxiety. He did not say God has not given us, oversensitivity. He said God has not given us a spirit of fear. I want to read to you some other translations. The New Revised Standard Version that we read this morning said God did not give us a spirit of cowardice. The New Living Translation says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity." The Amplified Bible says God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or fear. The common word is the word spirit. God has not given us a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of timidity. God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. The word that Paul used for the word spirit is the Greek word pneuma, and it primarily means wind or breath. Like the wind, this term spirit and what it refers to is invisible, immaterial, and powerful. As I mentioned earlier, it's the same term, and this is what Vine's Expository Dictionary said about this word. It's the same term used for wind, breath, the immaterial, invisible part of man, the sentient element in man by which he perceives, reflects, feels or desires, moral qualities and activities, angels, and unclean spirits. Angels and unclean spirits. Paul is telling us that fear is the result and is the manifestation of a spiritual activity that is occurring around us or in us. It's activity. The activity of this spirit of fear is to hinder you, is to deter you, is to distract you, is to terrorize you. It is to tie you up and bind you so that you cannot move forward. Its purpose is to prevent you from fulfilling your God-given destiny, from living a joyful life, from giving to others. You ever watched Hoarders? These people who just accumulate and accumulate and accumulate and accumulate, and then people try to intervene and try to say, you need to let go of some of this stuff. And they're afraid. They're afraid to let it go. They're fearful. Fear, this spirit of fear will cause you nightmares. It will prevent you from leaving your home or hinder you from overcoming past emotional or physical wounds. It binds you and constricts you. Think of it like this. Think of it like a boa constrictor, this fear that just begins wrapping itself around you. And the more it wraps around you, the tighter it makes you and pulls you in until there comes a time in your life where you realize, I cannot do anything because I'm afraid and fearful. And so we try to conquer this spirit of fear by willpower, by self-effort, by what we're going to do. And we just say, you know what, I'm just not going to be fearful anymore. I'm not going to do this anymore. And we think that we can overcome this spirit that is working in us by our self-effort, by our human ability, by us just trying harder. Jesus referred to the inability of human beings to overcome this spirit of fear. In Luke chapter 11, verse 24, Jesus said this, "When an unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it wanders through waterless regions looking for a resting place. But not finding any, it says, 'I will return to my house from which I came.' When it comes, it finds it swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and live there, and the last state of that person is worse than the first." What was Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that if you try to come against a spirit of fear that is attacking you by human effort, by human ability, by just willpower, you may drive it away for a while. But Jesus said that spirit says to itself, "I will return," and notice what Jesus said, "I will return to my house from which I came." I'm going back home, that spirit says. And that spirit realizes that if all you're going to fight me with is just your self-effort and your abilities and willpower, I'll just bring some of my buddies. And Jesus said, so at the end, the last state of that person is worse than the first. So think about some of the spirits that a spirit of fear brings. Anxiety, worry, depression, anger. Nervousness, dread, pessimism, fright, agitation, stress. We have to understand that this spirit of fear is going to increase as we continue to progress through time. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 25. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the world. People will faint from fear, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. You want to get a good case of fear? Just watch the news. Watch the news. Feed that fear in you. And watch what it does. It just grows and it increases. And it becomes stronger and stronger. And our efforts and our willpower and our trying harder and our turning over a new leaf and our thinking of, you know, I'm just not going to think fearful thoughts. We think that is going to drive out and push away a spirit of fear. Paul wants us to understand something. That fear, this spirit of fear, does not come from God. It has no place in your life. It has no place in my life. It has no place in the life of this church. We, as a person, as individuals, should not make our choices and decisions based upon fear. As a church, we cannot base decisions and choices that we face this year based upon fear. Because there is no place in our lives as followers of Christ, nor is there any place in the body of Christ for fear to operate and function. God did not give us, Paul said, a spirit of fear. Well, then it must come from the enemy of our souls. It must come from Satan. It must come from the enemy who desires that fear will run rampant in your life and in my life. Paul tells us what God gave us. He says, God's not given us a spirit of fear. But here's what God has given us: power, love, and the King James Version says, a sound mind. That is how we're supposed to operate. That's the spirit we're to operate in. That's the atmosphere in which we're supposed to function and work. That's the atmosphere and the attitude that the body of Christ is to have. That we're filled with power, we're filled with love, and we have a sound mind. We don't make decisions or choices based upon what happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We don't make decisions based upon what we're afraid might happen. We make decisions based upon what God can do and will do. The New King James Version reads this way. Let me back up. The Amplified Version puts it this way. God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of sound judgment and personal disciplines, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control. The New King James Version reads that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Fear will always come against faith. Fear will always break fellowship. And fear will always darken the future. And that is why Paul said, this does not come from God. Now remember, Paul is writing Timothy this letter. Paul is writing it from a Roman prison cell. Paul is going to be martyred in a short span of time. If anyone had a right to be fearful, it was Paul. But Paul recognized that there was a spirit of fear operating in Timothy. And he said, Timothy, this what's operating in you did not come from God, and you've got to recognize this is not God's best for you, Timothy. God does not want you to live your life, Timothy, in fear. And even though I may be getting ready to die, Timothy, God does not want you to live in fear of even dying. God wants you to live in power and love and with a sound mind. And that has not changed. You and I will never encourage, or I'm sorry, will never overcome fear through our own efforts. We have to recognize that when fear comes, that this is demonic in nature, that its goal is to strike at your faith, that its goal is to break fellowship, and its goal is to darken how you see the future. Now, normally, when I come clear to the conclusion of a sermon, I try to give you, here's what you need to do. So the first thing I would say to this, you need to come back next week. But I would say this. Since fear is spiritual in nature, you and I are going to have to deal with that spirit of fear by activating the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're going to have to say, Holy Spirit, I cannot, I will not live the rest of my life in fear. I will not any longer wake up every morning and say, I wonder what's going to happen today. I will not feed this spirit of fear in me. And if that means I have to withdraw from people who always talk about what they're afraid of and how bad things are and this thing and that thing and that, this, all these, then I may have to withdraw from them. You and I are going to have to make choices to break, if it's operating in your life, to break a spirit of fear that operates in your heart, that operates in your mind, that operates through your words. I would encourage you at night, before you go to bed, or even as soon as you lay down in bed, declare, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit, and fear has no place in my life. You're going to have to be assertive. You're going to have to be proactive. You're going to have to be a little revolutionary. You're going to have to say, I'm not going to allow my life to be bound by fear. This can't go on any longer. And you, I can't do it for you. You have to make that choice in your life that this cannot operate in my life any longer. I will not allow it. And then begin to take the appropriate spiritual steps to break that spirit of fear that is operating. Fear has no place in your life. Fear has no place in my life. Fear has no place in the life of this church. We're not bound by a spirit of fear. But in order for fear to flee, since it is spiritual in nature, you have to use spiritual weapons against it. My oldest son, when he was a little boy, first parsonage we lived in was a Jim Walter home that had been added on to about two or three times. And so the master bedroom was way down at this end, and the other two bedrooms were way down at that end. And we were 18 months old when we moved into that parsonage. He was 18 months old when we moved into that parsonage. And so he was sleeping in his own room. And You know, he had a little nightlight, and he was fine with that. But you know how thunderstorms come in the summertime, and you get that flash of lightning and the roll of thunder, and you can hear it coming, and you can tell it's getting closer and closer. When that would happen, I could hear Sean. Daddy. Daddy. Come lay down with me. And I didn't want to get up out of bed. I'd say, Sean, it's just thunder, son. Go back to bed. Go to sleep. You'll be fine. He'd calm down. He'd quiet down for a couple of minutes. I'd hear him again. And the only way that he would go to sleep is I would go get in his bed with him, and I'd put my arm around him, and he would get up really close, and in about 10 minutes, he'd be gone. God has given you at your disposal everything that you need to break the spirit of fear that is tormenting you. He's right there. He's saying, I'll give you what you need. I'll go with you through this. I'll break this off of you. You and I, though, have to make the first choice, and that is this. I will not live the rest of my life in fear. Well, Lord, you've called us to be people of faith. You've called us to be people of power, to be people of love, and to be people with a sound, disciplined, under control mind. And we recognize that the enemy uses a spirit of fear as one of his greatest weapons to bind us up, to sow discord and disunity, and to blind our eyes, so that we no longer see the future in the way that you see it. We live in fear of the future rather than expectancy and hope in the future. So, Father, today we recognize that this is from the enemy who despises our souls and will do everything he can to prevent us from walking in relationship with you and with others. I pray today, Father, for that one who is here today, or maybe that one who's watching on Facebook Live or will watch later, who is struggling with fear and recognizes it, that this is not caution. This is evolved into fear. I pray, Father, that faith would begin to stir up within them, and they would recognize that this is a spiritual battle. Lord, today, set people free. Set your people free from a spirit of fear so that we can move into the destiny that you have for your church. I pray this now in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.